Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and catch your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I'm all over the place with the show, you know that. And there's many different topics that come up that what I think is important for the understanding and the quality of your life you need to understand about the world. Today, I'm going to bring it way back down to the lowest level possible, and that is the understanding of money itself. Which is really important because I don't think most people truly understand money. So what is money? Money is just an exchange of goods and services from one person to another. Money, paper money, has absolutely no value at all. In fact, gold has no value at all. Oil has no value at all. Many other assets have no value at all if there is not a desire or a demand for them. Goods and services. That's what people demand. If you've got a service that nobody wants, you've got no value. If you got goods that nobody wants, you have no value. There is no value to it. So now we look at the concept of value when we talk about a term called an asset. What is your greatest asset when you're young? It's your time. You trade your time for money. What is your second greatest asset? It's your credit. You can go get assets. You can go get things by being honest. Now, credit is not really a word. It's really credibility. And you used to shake a man's hand and say, if you'll let me drive the car off your lot today, I guarantee you I'll make payments to you until I've paid you back. That was my promise to you. That was, and if I did it, I had credibility. And if I didn't, I didn't have credibility. I'd lack thereof. So later they tried to quantitate that and call it a credit report. But what a credit report is basically is your willingness and ability to pay people back when you borrow stuff from them. That's what it's all about. So that is an asset. Your credit is an asset to you, right? So Dave Ramsey's basic concept is that I've destroyed my credit because he was a fool with his money. And so he thinks all people that lend money, creditors, are bad. They're all evil, that all banks are evil because they come after you for the money that Dave, listen to me, Dave Ramsey, you promised to pay them. And you didn't, Dave. Which means even though you go to church every Sunday and all of your courses and seminars are taught in churches, you're teaching your people not to pay their debts. So, come on, man. You're having them waste a very large factor of asset value of their life. Because if I can go borrow $5 or $10 or $20 million, and that asset can make me $10 or $20,000 a month, it is my asset of my credit that's earning me that money. And you're basically saying that doesn't mean anything. Destroy it. Don't borrow anything. Don't even have a credit report score. Dave, come on, Dave. You're a smart guy. Stop telling people fibs. You know credit's important, but it doesn't fit into your sales pitch. I get that. So let's move on. Assets are important, but are assets everything? No. Assets are only the beginning because you can use assets to do one thing with them that's important. And assets only do one thing that's important. Well, maybe I could give them two or three. I'll add a few to it because I'm just ad-libbing this anyway. Assets, number one, produce income. So your time can produce income. Why do you get them to go to work every day? Because you need income. You say, well, I have my asset. I have my ass. And my ass is my asset. And I don't need to get them to go to work because I have me. No, you need that asset to do something for you. Well, I have credit. Shouldn't I just be able to sleep in all day? I have credit. No, you need that credit to do something for you. So you see, having assets, even a pile of money, I've got a pile of money in the bank, and it won't do you any good. Except that I was going to say there might be some secondary and tertiary benefits of having assets, and that is assets can be turned into free flow cash and can be spent. But as you spend them, you eliminate your assets and you work your way down to zero. So the real value of an asset is to produce income so you don't have to give up the asset to live on. The last thing assets do is assets increase your potential for wealth. They increase who you are in society. In other words, just having money. I called a guy the other day, said, hey, I'm looking at buying this thing. It was a big piece of real estate. It was something I'd never bought before, a type of deal I'd never done. I said, look, I'll be honest with you. I've never done this particular type of purchase, but I've done purchases for 30 years in apartment complexes and single family houses and so forth. And so just take my name, and it's talking to me for the first time. I said, put my name in your Google right there in front of me. Okay, he put my name in my Google, and my name popped up, and I see that's me. And he goes, okay, I get it. You can do this. So it gave me some prestige. My assets gave me some prestige, some credibility. That's probably a better word for it. The assets themselves create credibility. In other words, you may have never bought an apartment complex before, never had built the credit to do something like that, but you go to the bank and say, I want to borrow $5 million to buy this apartment complex, but I've got $2 million of my own money I'm going to put down. That $2 million is buying you some credibility. They're going, hey, if you put up two of the five, we'll do the other three. That's a pretty credible position to start from, which is credibility. Again, Dave, very important position in life to become successful. And so as you go through this and you start looking at what is important and what isn't important, it really comes down to creating income. When we talk about retirement, most people have been led to believe that retirement is a time, a place, or an age. Age 65, age 67, age 70. Or it's a place where you have $1 million in the bank. But you have to think about that for a second. If it's a place where you have $1 million in the bank and you're living on $100,000 a year right now as a job, how long can you live on $1 million? Well, 10 years. You just spend $100,000 a year, you're going to be out of it in 10 years. Now, some of you, that's fine. If you're, you know, you're 70 years old and you know you won't live past 80, $1 million in the bank, and you're pretty well off. You've got 10 good years ahead of you. And if you really want to be frugal, you live on $500,000. You cut back your standard of living, live on $500,000, and you potentially have 20 years. And so there you go. You're living off your assets, which is what most people believe you do. But in the reality, to retire at 34 years of age, I couldn't have saved enough money by 34 to retire and have enough money to live all the way up to now I'm 63. There's no way. So retirement didn't mean having a pile of money. Retirement meant I was able to replace my earned income with passive income. And so where I was trading time for money, I was now trading asset investment time for money. My assets were earning me money. My assets other than my ass. My ass didn't have to get up and go to work every day because I had assets that were invested and earning me money. So now you got to get down to the calculations of what does it take to retire? Well, that's really some pretty simple math. When you back into it, you go, and you always start with, what do you want to live on? What are you willing to live on? I could get you to retire really quickly if you're willing to live on a couple $1,000 a month. I could get you to retire very quickly if you want $4,000 or $5,000 a month. You want $10,000 a month, it might take a couple years to do that, or a year or two. You want $20,000 a month, it might take three or four. You want $50,000 a month, it might take four or five. But it all comes down to, what are you wanting to live on? Because you have to build up enough streams of income, streams of passive income, to be able to replace your earned income to live at that level of existence. Now, where I always get a kick is when people come to me and say, right now I make $100,000 a year. Okay, you want to retire? What do you want to earn? Well, I want to earn $250,000 a year. You can't even do that working. Maybe what you need to do is go learn how to earn $100,000 a year in passive income and keep working. Now you got $200,000 a year and you're pretty close to where you want to be, but you're not going to get there right away. Right? You're not going to get there right away if you just stop working. You're not going to have any money to invest, and boom, there you go. The process is dead in the water. We'll take a short break, come back, and go further on this discussion with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about money. We're talking about how to accumulate it. We're talking about how to earn it. We're talking about retirement by replacing your earned income with passive income. So as we come out of the first segment, we're at the point now where we realize we're going to have enough money to create enough passive income to replace our earned income. So we talked about where you're starting from. What is the earned income amount you need to live, to survive on? And I want you to think about that for just a second, because most people get it wrong. You believe you're making $100,000 a year. You believe you're living on $100,000 a year. But the truth of the matter is you're only taking home after taxes, 401k. Insurance, the whole bit, you're taking on probably $60,000 a year, maybe 70 at the most. And so when you go to replace your income, you don't have to replace $100,000 a year, you have to replace $70,000 a year. And if so, if you only make 50, you only have to replace $35,000 a year, right? And so on and so on and so on. But you do have to replace an amount, right? Now, what's the next level? Well, how much money do you need to be able to replace that? And when you look at that, this is where it gets confusing for almost everybody. I mean, even some people that are sophisticated investors, it becomes confusing because the marketplace changes those results all the time. So we look at it and say, okay, if I have $1 million, nobody tells you need $1 million. For years, financial planners have said that the average return that you can pull out of your 401k, your IRA, or your savings accounts, your lifelong portfolio is about 4% a year. Pull out 4 or less per year, you probably won't deplete your life savings before you die. That's been sort of the rule. And now that rule's gone down to 3%. You say, well, why is that? Well, it used to be you could buy bonds and you could buy CDs. And I remember when I was a kid, when I first started buying real estate, interest rates at that time on a mortgage were 11 to 12%, but CDs were 15 to 18%. So it was reasonable to think that if you had $1 million, you could live on $180,000 a year. And back then, that's a lot of money. So $1 million meant something back then. But ever since then, interest rates have been going down. And so mortgage rates, which were 11 to 12%, went down to 10. I thought that was great. They went down to 8. I thought that was unbelievable. Then they went down to 6, and I said, the world has come to an end. I better buy everything I can get my hands on. Then they went to 5, and I'd already bought everything I could, so I refinanced everything I could to get them down to 5. Then they went down to 4, so I started buying again and refinancing everything I could, and they went down to 3, and I refinanced everything I had into the 3s, and then boom, they went back up to 4 or 5. So most of my mortgages got hung out somewhere between 3.8, 3.9, 4.0, so on and so forth. And that's just historically ridiculously low, because historically interest rates for 200 years the country's been in place have been about 9%. So what you have to understand is, what does interest rates really mean? What it means is, what does somebody need to get paid to give you their money? You know, what are they willing to give away their money for? In other words, lend it to you. And their money has to earn a certain amount. Well, when the Fed brings the interest rates down to 3% like they are now on mortgages, then people, banks, people, the Fed, will give you money for next to nothing. So what about you as an investor? Your money becomes worthless. Why does it become worthless? Because interest rates on the Fed, and I watched it happen for a while when Trump had the economy blowing and going again, interest rates started to go up a little bit to slow it down. And you could get a savings account, and I had millions upon millions upon millions of dollars of savings accounts, multiple accounts, over 20 plus accounts. They were earning over 2% interest. And boom, as soon as this COVID thing started and they started lowering interest rates again, man, interest rates started dropping like rocks. And now I think I only have one that's over 1% interest. So it dropped it back down. Now, when that happens, you have to ask yourself, what are you going to do? Because you're living off the income from your investments. Now, I'll give you another example. At an apartment complex that I put $100,000 in with another guy, And that apartment complex usually pays me a dividend quarterly. I just got a quarterly dividend for the second quarter of $3,500, which would mean it's a 3.5% return, but that's only one quarter of the return. Annualized, that's a 14% return. Now, we didn't draw the first quarter down because of COVID virus. We didn't want to take cash out of the company because we wanted to make sure we were plenty safe in case it became very difficult to run the business. But it turned out that it wasn't as bad as we thought. You know, there were some downturn, but it wasn't as bad as we thought. So by the second quarter, we were able to go back to paying our distributions, our dividends again. So this is about a 14% return, annualized return investment, compared to less than 1% in a savings account. Now, how many of you have your money out there in money market accounts or savings accounts that are going to be earning less than 1% again? I looked at my big accounts, like where my checking account is and my Wells Fargo savings account, and they're earning less than half of 1%. And I said, wow, man, these guys are just killing you. They're just killing you, like 0.35, 0.035% of whatever it is. It's terrible. But what does that mean for everything else? That means cap rates on all businesses go down too, because people want to buy assets that have good returns. And so they find something that works well, like real estate, and so they put their money into it. Well, when 10 different people want the same asset, they tend to bid the price up. When you bid the price up, the rate of return goes down. And so, like I said, I was looking at this asset yesterday, and the rate of return on it was only 4.5%. Now, it's 4.5% if you pay cash. If you were to leverage it, put a bank loan on it, you could probably get it up to about a 6% return. Maybe over a period of time, it goes up to 6.5, 7. This one did have rent increases in it, but, you know, maybe they come, maybe they don't. You don't know what happens in the future. But right now, what it earns is 4.5%. And so you sit there and you think, why would I do something like that? Then you look at it and go, well, because you own an asset that can be depreciated. You go, that's interesting. Okay, so we can depreciate the asset, which means the income will be tax-free. So what would normally be 4.5 and you would pay 30% in taxes, which would bring it down to 3, it doesn't go down to 3. It stays at 4.5. That's great. Okay, so that creates benefit to it, right? And you start comparing these assets and these returns to each other is what I'm trying to get to, until you decide where you want your money in your portfolio at and what you want it doing. And that becomes the true job of a real estate or a portfolio investor, is to manage the portfolio. Not to manage the real estate, as you think, but to manage the portfolio. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about how to retire, and the bottom line is it's an equation. And the equation is when you can replace your earned income with passive income. But to do that, there's a combination of the amount of your assets and what your assets can produce as far as income. And the bottom line is that we have all different kinds of assets. So like for myself, I own Houston Real Estate Company, which sells real estate. I own San Antonio and Austin Real Estate Company. I own a Dallas Real Estate Company. I own a Phoenix Real Estate Company. So I have four businesses that are passive to me. And I said, what do you mean by passive to you? Well, I own these real estate companies and they sell real estate to people. And the company earns a profit. And the profit belongs to me because I own the company. You say, well, Del, I thought you had to be a real estate agent or a broker to own a real estate company. The answer is no, you don't. I figured that out many, many years ago when I saw a news article that Sears was buying Coldwell Banker. And I thought about it for a second. I go, Sears doesn't have a real estate license, and Coldwell Banker. I said, who is Coldwell? Is there a guy named Coldwell somewhere that has a real estate broker's license somewhere? And I go, no. They have a company, and the companies have franchises, and the franchises, each one of them has a broker of record, and boom, You're in the real estate business. I go, that's the easiest business I ever found to start. All I had to find was real estate brokers that had licenses that didn't have any money to create a company. So I created the company, they brought the license, and boom, we split the profit. And they work and I don't. I bring the assets, they bring the asset, so they go to work. So I've got all these companies producing me my income. And it's actually pretty good income. So you think about, I have four different jobs that I don't go to work at. Four different companies that pay me money, and they're different. So we could be having a tough time in Houston, a good time in San Antonio, a good time in Phoenix, a good time in Dallas. They're all different. They're all over the place. And by the way, between those four, they also sell real estate in a lot of other places in the country. Now, I have another company. I have a software company. A guy came to me and said, Doug, you need to be able to do this, and you need to be able to do that. You need the software that does this, and you need the software to do that. And I really liked the guy, and the guy was really smart. I said, okay, well, then let's start a company. I'll give you half. I'll take half. I'll put up all the money, do all the marketing and advertising. You create the software. He did. And boom, for, I think, 10, 12 years now, I've had passive income. I don't do anything. He does the work. I put up the money. Simple concept. And so I have passive income. That's another business. So I get another income equivalent to a job. Then, of course, I own Lifestyles Unlimited, which is a consulting and mentoring company. The company makes money by helping other people. What is our asset? What is our product? Our product is education and mentoring. Who does the work? I hire the smartest people I can get my hands on to do the work, the smartest people to run the company, and the smartest mentors I can find out there, which all mentors are ex-Lifestyles members because they have to understand the process. And they have all had to go through and become retired millionaires before I'll hire them. I don't like to hire people that can't do what they're teaching people to do. But again, I used to mentor. I don't anymore. I used to teach classes. I don't anymore. To me, the only job part of this company is doing radio shows. And really, I do radio shows as to educate everybody and to market all of my companies. In other words, my whole portfolio is marketed by doing radio shows. And so it helps those assets produce income. And so what I really do for a living is I monitor my portfolio. Oh, by the way, I own six apartment complexes, and I don't work in any of them, and I don't have the keys to any of them, and I don't know the codes to any of them. I don't do the accounting for any of them. I don't hire, fire, or train in any of them. But there's six more companies. Each one of them is an independent company run by a group of people that run that company, none of which is me. So, again, you look at this as groups of businesses. Now, if I own single, when I used to own single family houses, I considered each rent house a business. Yeah, that's my business at the corner of 1432 Green Street and 716 Red Street. And that one's on Black Street and that one's on Brown Street. Each of those were mini businesses that earned me $400 or $500 a month. That's the way I looked at it. Then I consolidated them down and created a consolidation company where I owned 30 houses together with one guy in a company, an LLC, and we owned really what we owned was 15 duplexes. I owned another set of 45 houses with a group of people, which is where we owned a whole subdivision. So I started grouping these things. I owned four fourplexes with one lady, and then I owned two fourplexes with another guy. And each one of those were companies, and every one was a separate company. It's just the way I've created income for years is to not have a job, to not go out there and go to work. What I'm trying to get across to you is each time I come up with an idea for a new company, we create that company. The company creates more income and goes on for the rest of my life. Now, I have had about 20 apartment complexes in the past that I have sold. So I have closed companies before, but generally because I've made so much profit off of closing them by selling them that I've taken the profit and rolled it over into two or three or four more businesses or one three or four times the size. And so, again, working towards increasing the rate of return by having more assets. Now, not only do we work at having more assets, we work at having the assets earn more money. And by earning more money, they become more profitable. So an apartment complex might this year be a 7% return, and next year we want it to go up to 10% return. And the year after that, because we've increased the rents and got control of the expenses, we want it to go up to 15% return. We're constantly trying to increase the rate of return, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In every business you have, you're working both on expanding your business and improving the return on investment on your business. Both of those are goals of any business, along with your basic goal, which is provide best product at the best price for your customer, provide good work standards, work environment, so that people have the right place to spend their lives working, so that it's a good place to work and they want to stay there and they don't want to leave. Never want to try to enhance or entice people to stay because of money, because that's a no-win situation. They'll just always want more and more and more. What you have to do if you're going to be successful in business is get your employees to want to stay because they like what they do. Now, we have one more person. By the way, we call these people stakeholders in your business. Your business is there not just for you. Your business is providing product for your customers, employment for your employees. It's providing investment income for your investors, payment for your vendors. So whenever you have vendors of any kind, it's very important as a business to pay your vendors on time. I don't know where they ever came up with this concept of net 90, where they buy something and they hold your money for 90 days and then pay you. I've made it for 30 years in business by paying the bill the day they send it to me. They send it to me the day I pay the bill. I'm not trying to float next month's income to pay last month's expenses. I've got the money in the company and I always keep liquid cash. So what does that do? Well, when it gets tight and there's a flood and the vendor's got to decide, do they go fix your place? Do they go fix mine? They're going to go fix mine. Why? Because they get paid. They always get paid, and they get paid in a timely manner. That is another connection that's very, very important to have in business, is a tight connection with your vendors that you do business. So as you see, it's very important. We've named off all of these people that are benefiting from the business, but we left out one major, major person. And that is, all income gets taxed. And so the U.S. government / all the poor, indigent people that can't figure out how to survive in life on themselves, all the public transportation, the police and the fire and the schools, has to get paid by somebody. And who does it get paid by? By successful business people. And that's what these idiots out there right now don't understand. They're trying to get rid of the very thing that is taking care of all of them. And when they eliminate the businesses, they eliminate their long-term support. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley on Designing a Lifestyle.
When I was younger, I decided that I was not going to live the life that the average person lived, which was to think I was going to work for the end of my life, save up enough money, and then when I'm old and gray like I am now, try to buy my life back with a pile of money that I had. I said, no, I'm going to design a life and I'm going to live that life. That's it. Period.
Are you ready to design your life? Learn how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here now is Lee Reeves. Lee is one of our presenters for our group, and I don't know if you remember, last week his wife was on, Claire Reeves. And Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Claire came on and said that, man, you were all excited about doing this. You were living out in New York. You were unhappy with the way your employment was, you know, lining up as far as being an attorney. You didn't like the way you had to work so hard and so long and so forth. But she said she was a skeptic. I always find it interesting how when the couple of years go by and the skeptics come back and you've already retired, and then they go, what about me?
That's exactly what happened. I mean, thankfully, you know, I tell people she's my better half, significantly better. I heard her on the radio with you last week, and I thought she did just a wonderful job. She's a real asset to Lifestyles, I know. But she was a skeptic in the beginning. She supported me getting into real estate, but remained skeptical. I ended up had already left my job, had already bought a bunch of properties. She saw that it was going well. And I think she said on your show that she didn't fully buy in until she bought her own single family properties, and really did that because she was looking for something to do. I needed for her to do something is what happened. And she finally got in and goes, oh, well, this does work. So it's been a real joy in our lives to follow the map that Lifestyles and you put together. And it does work.
Well, we've created a concept about 2.5-3 years ago. We said, live where you want, invest where you want. Basic concept that, you know, we used to think you had to buy real estate right where you lived. And we disproved that fact and said, hey, you can live anywhere you want. So pick the best place to live and pick the best place to invest and do both of them in the best places. And since then, people like yourself have taken on the national venue. And it's a lot because you have to connect with people all over the country now. And so we're having you on here today so that you can kind of get with the national group of people, because the radio show goes all over the country, about 106 different radio stations, and to have you share with what events are out there for people that are all over the country and or in our major cities. So why don't you share with what's available that you guys got going?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And just so the audience knows, we've actually implemented that in our own lives. We were down in Houston for 7 years and have since moved up to the Nashville area in Tennessee. It is one of my favorite things to do, really, is to go to various cities. We can't do that right now, but we are reaching out in some ways better, I think, because we've done a lot. We've moved a lot to online. And I think that that's resulted in a better connection nationwide. So let me run down the list. I mean, if you guys want to check out Lifestyles, I know you listen to Dell, and he says, you know, a lot of great things that make sense. I know because I listen to him. But if you want to check out Lifestyles and learn the 5 ways we make money in real estate, the 7 principles we use to provide for our families, to run our businesses, and then see how the numbers really work in single family and multifamily case studies, I really encourage you to attend a free workshop. This is conducted by webinar right now. Register at lifestylesunlimited.com, lifestylesunlimited.com for a free workshop. We also have case studies, and this is where members come and present the deals that they've done. And you can ask questions about how they did that, the vendors that they use, the numbers. We have a Houston case study that anybody can attend. It's by webinar. That's this Thursday, tomorrow night on the 16th. That starts at 6 p.m. Central Time. San Antonio has a case study on July 23rd, same time, 6 p.m. Central Time, and then in Dallas on the 30th. I do want to put a plug in for the 2-day financial freedom seminar. We've got one coming up. I live stream this weekend on the 18th and 19th. And if you can't make that, we have a special 4-part evening version of that. It's a Tuesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Thursday, starting next Tuesday, July 21st. I will be presenting that 4-part evening version. I hope to see a ton of people on there. It's going to be a great time. To register for that directly and to get a great deal on it, go to givemetotalfreedom.com, givemetotalfreedom.com. There is a promo code, which is Dell, D-E-L. Promo code is Dell. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com, promo code Dell. And then, you know, let me plug a couple national member events. These are for members, but it shows you a little bit about how we help you run your business. We have a single family road trip on Saturday, July 25th. This is where we go to a single family property that a member is either looking to buy or has bought, and we're analyzing that. That's at 10:30 in the morning. Multifamily has a couple different kinds of road trips. One is an education road trip. We're doing that by webinar next Friday, July 24th in the morning at 10:30, and a multifamily acquisition road trip featuring 5 properties in different markets. It is phenomenal. That's the same day on the 24th in the afternoon. And then we've got a couple meetups happening. A lot of them are on Zoom or other things, but I know of one at least. And it's in Hawaii. It's on Sunday on the 26th. And the last point I just want to make is deals are happening right now. They're happening right now, and more are going to happen in the near future. Now is the time to get involved.
Yeah, they are, and I've started looking. I've looked at 2 different deals actually this week myself, so they're out there, and they're starting to happen. People are coming back. I have to say, just as soon as this COVID thing goes away, I'm going to go to those Hawaii meetups. I mean, I cannot figure a better way Amen. To take a tax write-off than to have to take a vacation, a business trip, I'm sorry, to Hawaii.
It's a business trip. It's
absolutely.
You can deduct it.
I'll be right there with you, man, just as soon as we can get through it alive. That will be there. So thanks for coming on and sharing all that different stuff going on. It seems like there's really a lot going on. The rest of you out there, remember this. Lee, Claire's wife, me, everybody, we don't do this just to have a little bit more money. We're doing it for a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.